This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Lord Almighty, I feel my temperature rising.
Help me welcome to the program Ken Bernstein. He is the editor-in-chief at Blue Commonwealth, bluecommonwealth.com. Ken, how are you, sir?
Doing fine, Coy. Yourself?
Very good, very good. Were you surprised at what happened yesterday with the comeback Kid Cree Deeds coming from a distant third place?
Not surprised by last night, although the size of the margin, I think, surprised most people. It was rather clear in polling data going down the stretch. You had two polls from SurveyUSA and PPP, both of which showed him with a double-digit lead and with strong momentum in his direction, and it was not unreasonable to expect most of the undecideds to break to him.
How did he win so big in Northern Virginia? Was it the Washington Post endorsement, or what happened?
There's a couple of things. You got to back up. First, this is a three-way race. In a three-way race, when candidate A starts attacking candidate B, if candidate C stays out of it, he inevitably benefits. That was already helping Cree a little bit. Second, when the first quarter fundraising reports came out, and despite the fact that he had been tied down with the General Assembly and not able to raise money, when he had more cash on hand than Moran, who had left the General Assembly to raise money, that caught some eyes and people started paying attention. He started getting some visibility. Did the Post endorsement help? Absolutely. Because it gave him an edge to come in here up into to Northern Virginia. It also led to something that they had not done. He had not done any lawn signs. In all of Northern Virginia, as far as I know, there was a sign on my front lawn and a sign at one of the law enforcement groups that was supporting him, and those were not lawn signs. They were not all weather. They printed up lawn signs. Everybody else had had them up for several weeks, and overnight, basically, a small group of very dedicated people put out 10,000 signs all over Northern Virginia, all touting the Washington Post endorsement. That got a lot of attention because it was fresh. But you cannot underestimate some of the old-fashioned politics that was going on. He had phone banks working for him up here, partially organized by his good friend Chap Peterson. Chap, you may remember, beat Jean Marie Devilites for his state Senate seat. She was the wife of Congressman Tom Davis, who dumped $600,000 from his campaign chest into her campaign. She was endorsed by the Washington Post, and Chap beat her by 10 points. The guy who managed Chap's campaign, Joe Abbey, is the one who is managing Cree's campaign.
Interesting. We're talking with Ken Bernstein. He's the editor-in-chief at bluecommonwealth.com. So really, this is a testament to just old-fashioned politics, the ground campaign, as we say, volunteers out there knocking on doors, making phone calls, putting up signs. That really made the difference.
Well, it made a difference, I think, in Northern Virginia, very much so. But I think you have to go back to something else. Those people who know Cree love him. All I want to do is give you a couple statistics. Allegheny County is next door to where he lives. He took 96.66%. Bath County, where he lives, he took 96.38%. Highland County, he took 97%. Albemarle County, he took 79%. Okay? Charlottesville, he took 76%. To know Cree is to respect him, even if you disagree with him on the issues. He listens. He's personable. He'll go to bat for you as if you're his constituent, even if he doesn't necessarily agree with you. People who know him are very dedicated to him. And I might point out that Bath County turned out like 26% of its voters.
Holy cow! Really?
Yep. Let me just give you a couple of other things. He won 10 of the 11 congressional districts, losing the third, Bobby Scott's, by 1.5% to McAuliffe. And remember, Clinton still plays well in the black community. Of the 95 counties in Virginia, he won 90. Of the 39 cities, he won 34.
Wow. Gosh. So he really did sweep this thing, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein of Blue Commonwealth, making sense of what happened yesterday. Cree Deeds comes from behind. Just a few weeks ago, Ken, third-place finisher.
When I announced my support of him on May 7th, he was polling at 15%. He finished with 49.7% in a three-way race.
Wow. So now looking forward, Cree Deeds has the nomination. He will have a rematch of sorts against Bob McDonnell. They ran against each other for attorney general in 2005, and Cree lost by just a few hundred votes.
323.
323 votes out of millions cast. So looking forward now, what's the strategy? What's your recommendation, Ken? How does Cree Deeds win in a statewide race for governor against a very popular, very personable Attorney General, Bob McDonnell?
Who has to try very hard to position himself as not being as far right as he is, with a ticket that may be the most conservative statewide ticket the modern Republican Party has ever fielded. You can go way back historically with some of the old Democratic tickets back in the days of the Byrd machine that might have been this conservative. You have a very, very conservative ticket. First, both tickets are broad-based across the state. The Republicans start with McDonnell, who was born in Fairfax. His connections with Tidewater, Bowling from Richmond, and Cuccinelli from Fairfax County. The Democrats have Cree from over the mountains, basically. You've got Jody Wagner from Tidewater, and you've got Steve Shannon from Fairfax County. So both are broad-based tickets to start with. What you are looking at, though, is there was a real difference the last time. Cree was not well-known around the state. He did not have the money that Bob did. And the person who in those days was still something of a power broker in the black community, Doug Wilder, refused to endorse him. Cree was closing rapidly at the end and still believes if he'd had one more day when he finally got up in the air in Northern Virginia, he might have won. There is no doubt that he's going to have sufficient money this time. All you have to remember is Tim Kaine is chairman of the Democratic National Committee and wants a Democratic successor. With even money and given the change in the state since 2005, remember, Webb beat Allen, Barack Obama won Virginia, and Mark Warner cleaned Jim Gilmore's clock. Cree's one weakness among voters at this point is he is still not that well-known in the black community, but he has his share of validators. He's got Henry Marsh, and he's got Don McEachin, who both supported him this time around. And I think you can pretty well guarantee, since he had a phone conversation with Barack Obama today, that he'll have Barack Obama, President Obama, coming into the state on his behalf. I would say it will be a competitive race. I would not be surprised. All the races in Virginia, including House of Delegates and so on, that the expenditures may approach $100 million this year.
Holy cow. So we're looking at historic levels of spending of money in this in the statewide campaign this year in Virginia.
I would expect that because, you know, Kaine was able to come up with someplace near $20-25 million. You have to figure it's more expensive now. This is ground zero. Both sides will do it. And the Republicans do not want to lose Virginia again, and they sure as heck don't want to lose the House of Delegates, so there'll be a lot of money coming in. McDonnell already has $4 million cash on hand, I believe, or he's raised that much. But the problem, of course, is he has not been raising it as individual donations. Some of that's come from chunks from Republican organizations. We'll see how it plays.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein. He is editor-in-chief at BlueCommonwealth.com. Ken, what's the Republican strategy this year? What do you see coming from the, you know, the McDonald Bowling Cuccinelli team?
Well, one of the things I think you've already seen, McDonald has already said that Tim Kaine is no longer a Virginia Democrat. He's a national Democrat. They're trying to, in some ways, say that he's gone national. He doesn't care about Virginia anymore. There's going to be difference on energy policy, but maybe not as much as you might have thought, because Cree is willing to explore offshore drilling, providing the science supports it. Now, that's a big provision. You will probably see, this is a guess on my part, that McDonnell is going to probably try to downplay the social issues, because if those social issues become predominant, one has to remember that Virginia has a strong libertarian streak. And I would remind people that when Marshall Coleman went further to his right than he had been to attack Doug Wilder on issues of abortion, one of the things that the Wilder campaign did was to run an ad featuring the Jefferson Memorial talking about individual rights. So there's the libertarian streak that Jim Webb tapped into, and I think that Cree, with his positions on things like guns and from the background that he comes into, taps into that a certain bit. Cree is definitely pro-choice, so that's going to be one issue that may or may not play out in there. and we're just going to have to see. This may be a case where the down ballot races is where the fighting goes on. That is, the attacks actually come at the down ballot races.
Interesting. We're talking with Ken Bernstein of Blue Commonwealth, and Charles is on line one. Charles, you're on with Ken. You go right ahead.
Being slightly cynical, do you think yesterday's vote in any way drew people from the Republican side, and could there have been any thought they would rather go against Cree than a Clinton-McAuliffe?
Exactly the opposite way. Because remember that Cree... What evidence we have of Republicans crossing over to vote is they were voting for McAuliffe, precisely because, if nothing else, you can raise a great deal of money on the Republican side by attacking the Clintons. They still do it. Remember that Cree does very, very well in redder areas of the state because he comes from that background. McDonald, to win, has to do well in the suburban areas, particularly maybe if not in inner Fairfax County, outer Fairfax, Prince William, Loudoun, Fauquier. He's got to have some appeal there, because if not, he's going to get killed. Remember, the population is tilting towards places like Northern Virginia. I would say, from the Republican standpoint, of the three candidates, the one they least want to run against in a general is Cree.
Interesting. Charles.
Thank you.
Yeah, Charles, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We got a line open at 977-1070. We're talking with Ken Bernstein of Blue Commonwealth. Ken, you supported Mike Signer. We spoke with he and Jody the day before the primary. He was picking up some steam there at the end, but Jody still had a significant margin of victory. She, of course, is now the Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor. She'll run against Bill Bowling. Your thoughts on those results?
I'm not overly surprised. Mike got into the race late, had trouble because Jody had locked up a lot of support. He never was able to do quite the kind of media stuff. And she also benefited because she got the Washington Post endorsement. And even though Mike has strong roots in Northern Virginia, he got clobbered in his home county of Arlington, partially because of the Washington Post endorsement, similar kinds of things. Mike's a good man. He's a bright man. Whether he'll run for office again or not, I don't know. I supported him. It was nothing against Jody. I just thought he brought something slightly more interesting. I'm friends with Jody. I have no trouble supporting her. I would have had no trouble supporting John Bowerman.
I will tell you one thing that I personally really liked about Mike Signer's campaign was that he wanted to define the lieutenant governor position as an ombudsman for the public, a public advocate when it comes to government in Richmond, which I think Virginians need. And I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat doing that. I would love to see the lieutenant governor position become something like that other than a governor in waiting.
Well, one of the things, you actually have a partial model from that from the last time you had a real insider-outsider battle, which would be when Dick Zaslaw was upset for the nomination by Don Beyer, because Don, in his two terms as lieutenant governor, did do some of that kind of outreach, and I think that served as something of a model for Mike. It's something I think that Jody will look at, will consider. I mean, that was not a bitter campaign by any stretch of the imagination, and I will tell you that when I informed Jody that I was supporting Mike and explained why, she said, well, I'll be happy to be working with you after the election. Jody's a very gracious lady.
We're talking with Ken Bernstein of Blue Commonwealth. If you've got a question, it's 977-1070. Ken, before we let you go, there was also folks down in Central Virginia might not know, but up in Falls Church, there was a very significant primary result. Tell us about this.
Okay, this is actually a state House of Delegates seat, the 38th District. Bob Hull was elected in December of 92. In a special election, had never been really seriously challenged in the primary, had a great deal of inside report. The school board member for the Mason District, Kay Corey, decided to challenge him. A lot of people did not think she had much of a chance. When the results were first being reported, they reversed one of her two strongest precincts and said Hull was winning by 59%. In fact, Kay Corey won that primary, and it's a Democratic seat, so it's basically tantamount to election by 66 votes. I know that sounds awful close. It is just over 1%. There is no recount if that number holds. What this indicates is that, particularly in Northern Virginia, there's a real concern not to just elect Democrats, but to elect Democrats who represent the values of the people in the Democratic Party in that area. And I think that is part of what fed into here because Bob Hull was probably a little bit more business-oriented and slightly more conservative than his district has become.
Interesting. Very interesting. So a changing of the guard there in Northern Virginia, and we're seeing a lean more towards the left among some of the Democrats, perhaps.
Well, yeah. I mean, we are a fairly liberal region. I live in Arlington County. We have openly gay member of the state legislature, Adam Eben, member of the school board, Sally, and I'm blanking out on her last name right now, and a member of the county board, Jay Fassett. We have two elected officials, Ingrid Maroy, Commissioner of Revenue, and Walter Tejada, who were born in other countries. We're very liberal up here. And by the way, there are 51 geographic precincts in Arlington. And I knew by 20 after 7 last night how big Cree's margin was going to be when those precincts came in. Cree took 44 out of 51 precincts in Arlington. We're right next door to Alexandria.
Wow, which, of course, is the home of Brian Moran.
Right. Brian won Alexandria, but he did not win it usually.
Wow, that's really interesting. So what do you think we're going to see this year? Are we going to see these, are we going to see big TV commercials running all year and radio ads? I mean, is this just going to be full onslaught?
I don't know. I mean, I'm expecting that, yes, you will see a lot of media. I'm expecting you will see the media from the Republicans in Northern Virginia in order to reach the suburban people, because that's the target audience for McDonnell. I don't think you'll see television ads for the down-ballot races. I could be wrong. You might see some in the Attorney General's race, since they're both from Fairfax County, Cuccinelli and Shannon. I actually give Shannon the edge. I think that's the... I would probably right now give Bowling the edge because he's the incumbent lieutenant governor, and I would give Shannon an edge in the attorney general's race because he's been a prosecutor and Cuccinelli is not. Plus, Cuccinelli has put his foot in his mouth on a couple of things, and he's on tape, like saying that he might not register his then forthcoming child with Social Security because the government's using Social Security to track people, and saying that in a debate, in a Republican attorney general debate, that he would might not defend some Virginia laws if he does not think that they were constitutional. He's got a constitutional responsibility to do that. I expect both of those, this video of both already on YouTube, might just appear in an ad.
Really quick, handicap deeds McDonald.
I would actually probably give a slight edge to Cree because of the tilt of the state. As long as Obama's popularity holds and the ability, if Obama can persuade black voters to turn out for Deeds, because he didn't have black voters last time, it will be a close race. It could wind up being a blowout. McDonald may raise more money. McDonald comes across better on television. He is smoother. But I think as people listen to Cree and get to know him, the fact that he sometimes, you know how he speaks and does a little of this kind of stuff,
yeah,
actually comes across as very human and very folksy. And anybody who underestimates Cree should know by now he's got a mind like a steel trap and he understands how politics is played.
Ken Bernstein is editor-in-chief at Blue Commonwealth. It's online at bluecommonwealth.com. Ken, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.